This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Good morning, wherever you're listening in the world. I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West for the 3rd of August 2025. Now let's get started with the news for this week.
Foundations of amateur radio. Recently, I came across a series of strident posts about the injustice associated with a non-amateur service using the 70cm band. Complete with links to discussions, spectrum plots, angst, and even incoherent outrage, all related to the notion that whomever allowed this user to transmit on this band was clearly incompetent. Except that this is probably not the case or the full story. So what's going on and why are people incensed? This all started at least 6 years ago. Since then, AST Space Mobile has deployed 7 low Earth orbit satellites and used the 70cm band to communicate with them. Although in the trial phase, there's plans for an additional 243 satellites. And there's at least one other company playing in the same space, Atmos Space Cargo. The outcry from amateurs is around the commercial use of their 70cm amateur band. It's an emotional statement, but what is the reality? Before I dig in, let's set some terms. Radio frequencies are globally coordinated because electromagnetism doesn't care about sovereign borders. This coordination is conducted at the United Nations by a body called the ITU, the International Telecommunications Union. Within that body, amateur radio gets a seat at the table from an organisation called the IARU, the International Amateur Radio Union. For the purposes of the ITU, the world is divided into three. Region 1, or essentially Europe, Russia and Africa, Region 2, the Americas and Greenland, and Region 3, the rest of the world. There's more to it. For example, Antarctica is split across all three, but for the moment that really doesn't matter. Of interest is that the band plan, the agreements that outline which frequencies are set aside for what service, might be defined differently across each of those three regions. To add complexity, each country can be granted exceptions. I don't know the exact mechanics of how this is achieved, but I can guarantee that there's lots of haggling and foot stomping. Diplomatically, of course. If you're curious how I come to that observation, just look at the absurd list of exceptions associated with each band plan allocation. Further complexity is added by the fact that not all allocations occupy the same frequency range. For example, in Region 1, the 2-meter band for amateurs exists between 144 and 146 megahertz. In Region 2 and 3, it's between 144 and 148 megahertz. Within an allocation, there's the concept of shared and exclusive priorities. These determine who wins if two stations with a different service are transmitting on the same frequency. Essentially, a secondary user may not interfere with a primary user, and a tertiary user may not interfere with either a secondary or a primary user, and so on. A primary user can pretty much do what they want as long as they stay within the allocation and don't interfere with other primary users. As a result, the order in which services are listed matters. An exclusive allocation doesn't have to be shared at all. Between regions, these service priorities might not be the same. For example, in Region 1, between 430 and 432 MHz is allocated to amateurs and radio location. But in Region 2 and 3, it's between radio location and amateurs. So an amateur using that frequency whilst in Region 1 would be a primary user, but in Region 2 or 3, they wouldn't. As an added wrinkle, for example in Australia, that slice is, quote, primarily for the purposes of defence and national security, end quote, even though radio location is the primary service and amateurs the secondary one. As a bonus, amateurs in Australia have access to 420.8 to 421.2 MHz as a secondary service, even though the ITU designates this as fixed, then mobile, except aeronautical mobile, and then radiolocation. Although amateurs are a secondary service, they come after the Department of Defence, who are the primary users for those frequencies in Australia. Between 420 and 430 MHz and from 440 to 450 MHz in several countries, Australia included, the amateur service is explicitly designated as a secondary service, even though the band plan doesn't actually show this. If you're confused, you're in good company, since this tapestry of regulation isn't as straightforward as the 70 centimeter band is an amateur band. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that it's not an amateur band at all, except perhaps in Region 1 between 430 and 440 MHz, where amateur is designated as the non-exclusive primary service. Back to the blow-up. AST was at one time authorised to use 430 to 440 MHz for trial purposes by a regulator in Region 2, the FCC, the United States Federal Communications Commission. I suspect that at the time the Blue Walker 1 nano satellite was experimental and the approval made sense. You can argue that whomever initially allowed this made a mistake, but reality is whatever the regulator says it is, unless someone at the ITU objects. It appears that the FCC has since been attempting to make AST comply. Instead, with billions of dollars at stake, AST continues to apply for more spectrum, which they apparently originally filed with the ITU through the Papua New Guinea administration. It's unclear if the FCC has since capitulated. There is evidence that the new commercial AST satellites are transmitting outside of their authorization, euphemistically described as IAIU uncoordinated. Ask yourself, how is it possible, or even allowable, that a regulator permits use of radio spectrum outside its borders, and what penalties and remedies exist? The ground stations using these disputed frequencies are all outside the USA. One of the five ground stations is in my own city, Perth, in Western Australia. I haven't noticed any discussion on this topic within my local community, even though this has been brewing for years. It does raise a bigger question. How is the band plan enforced? I mean, the 40-meter band is pretty much unusable in VK6 between sunset and midnight, thanks to the fishing fleet of our northern neighbours. It's been like that for as long as I've been an amateur, and I expect no change during my lifetime. How is this satellite fleet operating on the 70-centimeter band any different? That said, I cannot help but wonder, will the originally authorised 50 kHz signal every 8 seconds, not for phone calls to space and only for 24 hours after launch, or in the unlikely event of an emergency for telemetry tracking and command, actually cause issues? Or will it be an opportunity for radio amateurs to learn how to deal with interference? Speaking of interference and considering the allocated services, who is interfering with whom here, and what priorities and remedies exist? Recently, I talked about promotion, and the lack thereof, across our community. This is an example of promotion, and despite the uproar this week, a very poor example at that. Searching for AST Space Mobile, the oldest post I could find was on the German AMSAT or Amateur Satellite Forums back in September 2022 by Peter Delta Bravo 2 Oscar Sierra, who's been very active on this matter. His original post was in English, but went on to discuss the issue in German. I only found it after specifically looking for the names of the organisation involved. Peter's post supplied links to many of the documents I consulted. Despite having links to specific pages, I found no search results for AST Space Mobile on the websites for the regulators in the US, UK, Germany or Australia, and none on the ARRL, RSGB or DARC. The WAA produced two glowing news reports around the beginning of 2023 about this wonderful new mobile phone service. No mention of the 70-centimeter band. The only active discussions appear to be the German and UK AMSAT forums, that and all the glowing investor posts. In other words, this is the equivalent of publishing the information at your local planning department in Alpha Centauri 50 years before the event, and hoping for a good outcome. As a potential path forward, in January 2023, the German regulator forced AST to shut off 70-centimeter operations whilst it was within radio visibility of Germany. I don't know if that's still in effect, or how and if it's being enforced. It appears that AST has been lobbying for the use of this spectrum for a long time, not just the 340-page submission made last month. For example, NASA made its first response to this satellite constellation in October 2020. It appears that the WIA responded 4 years later, but I have yet to see it. And this week, the Bulgarian Federation of Radio Amateurs, the ARRL and RSGB, added theirs. The IARU issued a statement this week too. The fact that we're still arguing about it over half a decade later is a good indication that how we're responding as a global community is clearly ineffectual. Perhaps that is what we should be arguing stridently about. So where do you stand on this? Should something be done about this, and if so, what? And more importantly, how? I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo, Lima Alpha.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Time is passing quickly and the sun doesn't stop rising and setting. It's time to check your calendars. Grab a permanent marker and write it in. The NCRG Hamfest is on again come August 31st, 2025. You won't be surprised to find out the event is at the Cyril Jackson Rec Centre at the end of Fisher Street in Bassendean. The Hamfest committee allocated most of the tables last year, but there are some available for 2025. And even better, they're free to sellers or avid amateur radio demonstrators. Entry on the day will be $5 per person, regardless of whether you're a seller, a buyer, or which radio club you belong to. Entry is 7:30 a.m. for sellers, from 9 a.m. for buyers, and we expect the event will finish up around 12 noon. If you'd still like to reserve a table, please contact Club President Brad Peters, VK6BAP, on 0427-401-513, or via email at bradcortina1600, bradcortina1600@gmail.com. The number again if you missed it is 0427-401-513. And don't forget to head over to the NCRG webpage, ncrg.org.au. It's got all your Hamfest information and for details and prizes of the 2025 Hamfest raffle. With over $3,000 in prizes up for grabs, this is your chance to win big while you give back to the community that keeps us on air. I'm Glyn, Victor Kilo 6, Papa Alpha Whiskey, for the Northern Corridor Radio Group.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW, reminding you that tomorrow is the first Monday of the month, time for the Radio Amateurs Old Timers Club of Australia's August Bulletin to go to air. Firstly, though, a word about this month's lunch meeting. The last four lunchtime meetings at the new venue of the 7 Mile Bar and Bistro at Balcatta have proved very successful, so the bistro has been booked once again for the August meeting on Tuesday the 12th of August. The meeting starts at 11:30 for 12 noon meal ordering. Full details of the new venue's location and how to get there will be included in tomorrow's bulletin, but you can also access the information at any time via the club website. Just put RAOTC into your favourite search engine and then navigate to lunches. If you wish to attend on Tuesday, August the 12th, please email lunch coordinator Alistair, VK6ATX, ASAP. Alistair's email address is vk6kif@bigpond.com Once again, that's VK6 Kilo India Foxtrot at bigpond.com. This month, as well as the latest club news, we have an article about former amateur radio magazine editor Bill Rice, VK3ABP, now Silent Key, when he was maritime mobile on Lake Eyre, with an introduction by Bill's son, Peter, now VK3ABP. This will be followed by an article about electrolytic capacitors read by myself. In addition, there will be details of the upcoming Perth RAOTC luncheon, as well as what to expect in the latest edition of OTN, the club's journal. Everyone, RAOTC members and non-members alike, is most welcome to listen to the programme and to join in the callbacks afterwards. Now, some local broadcast details. Tomorrow, Chris VK6JI will transmit the bulletin on 80 metres at 3620 kHz starting at 8 a.m. At 9 a.m. local time tomorrow, there's a transmission via digital mobile radio on the VKDMR network talk group 5. At 10 a.m. local time, the program will be transmitted via the News West linked repeater system, simultaneously with a 40-meter transmission on 7088 kHz, again by Chris VK6JI. At midday, 0400 Zulu, there's a transmission on 28.450 megs from Mike VK8MA. On Wednesday, August the 6th, we have a D-Star broadcast at about 5:30 p.m. WA time. This will be transmitted via D-Star Reflector 91C following the AR newsline. On Sunday, August the 10th, repeats of the RAOTC bulletin follow the 80-metre, 160-metre and 40-metre broadcasts of the WIA news. Full details of all transmissions, times, frequencies and modes can be found on the RAOTC website. If none of the transmission times suit you, you can download the audio file at any time from today from the club website. So tune in tomorrow for the August RAOTC broadcast, and we look forward to hearing your call sign in the callbacks. 73 from Clive, VK6CSW.
Coming up soon is the International Lighthouse and Lightships Weekend, which is on the weekend of the 16th and 17th of August. Currently, there are three VK6 stations registered to activate lighthouses. Those are VK6 Charlie Lima Lima and VK6 Charlie November Lima at Capes Lewin and Naturalist, and VK6 Japan Mike Delta at North Mole in Fremantle. On the same weekend is the Remembrance Day contest, but don't be alarmed, the two events can operate simultaneously. In fact, you'll find that the Lighthouse teams will also run a log for the RD contest and will happily hand out numbers. So if you hear them calling, pick them up in your log and give them some encouragement. QTC magazine, published monthly by the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, is due to be published for August in the next few days, so keep an eye out for announcements. The August edition of QTC contains notice of the RASA Annual General Meeting, updates on RASA current projects, including the This Is Amateur Radio website and the Welcome to Amateur Radio brochure, which RASA is providing free to any club requesting it. A sample number of brochures will be sent to every club with a covering letter explaining that brochure and how clubs can go about obtaining more. And we're in the middle of doing that. It's a huge task sending these out, so it's being spread over a few weeks. These brochures are ideal for clubs to take to events that have an interface with the public. Where someone shows an interest in learning about amateur radio, the brochure is a useful takeaway for them. There's even a place on the brochure to fix a label with your club's information. This project is funded entirely by RASA. The brochures are free to clubs. All of RASA's resources are free. There's no requirement for your club to be affiliated with RASA, and your club can be affiliated with any other group. We don't care. It's not our business. Similarly, RASA resources are free to individuals, no membership required of anything.
At RASA, we put a lot of work into resources for newcomers to the hobby, particularly the Foundation Level Study Guide, which is a step-by-step guide through the curriculum with live links to resources and instructional movies on YouTube. Again, the study guide is free, substantially reducing the cost of entering the hobby. RASA's website is vkradioamateurs.org. Did you get that? VK Radio Amateurs, one big long word. vkradioamateurs.org. And lastly, RASA is making the effort to have a presence at hamfests. I have a table booked at the NCRG Hamfest later this month and am looking forward to seeing the old crowd and meeting the new. So stop by and have a chat. You won't be able to miss our table. I'm Bob VK6POP.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750 or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Commencing on Friday the 24th of October and concluding on Monday the 27th of October 2025, the VKFF team are hosting the third annual VKFF National Get Together. This year, the get-together is being held in Canberra. The VKFF National Get-Together is an event for those interested in the Worldwide Flora and Fauna Park Program, no matter if you are a beginner or an experienced park activator or hunter. Previous get-togethers have been held in Renmark, South Australia and Bendigo, Victoria, and these proved to be very popular. This year's event in Canberra will kick off with an evening meal on Friday night at the Lighthouse Pub in Belconnen. On Saturday, a series of presentations will be delivered during the day on various topics relating to the WWFF program and operating portable. This will be held at the Eastlake Football Club. A raffle will be held on Saturday with some excellent prizes, including transceivers. On Saturday evening, a dinner function will be held at the Eastlake Football Club. This includes a guest speaker. On Sunday, a barbecue breakfast will be held at Black Mountain Peninsula Barbecue Area. This will be followed by a link dipole construction session. Sunday afternoon, we'll see a large number of amateurs heading out into the field to activate VKFF parks. Four experienced VKFF park activators have volunteered to take less experienced park activators out to some of the ACT parks to show them some of the tips in successfully activating a VKFF park. On Sunday evening, a dinner will be held at the Gungahlin Lakes Golf Club. The get-together will conclude on Monday with some visits to the Royal Australian Mint and the Australian War Memorial. You must register to attend this event. Walk-ups will not be accepted. You can attend whatever part of the get-together you choose, but you must register. More information on the 2025 VKFF National Get-Together can be found on the WWFF Australia website at wwffaustralia.com. Many thanks for listening. 73, Paul VK5 Papa Alpha Sierra, the VKFF National Coordinator.
Dear HAM members, it's time to get excited. The Northern Corridor Radio Group, NCRG, is thrilled to launch our 2025 HAMFest fundraising raffle, and you're invited to join in the fun while supporting our club's future. With over $3,000 in prizes up for grabs, this is your chance to win big while giving back to the community that keeps us on the air. Here's what you need to know. Raffle website. Purchase your tickets online at https://rafflelink.com.o/hamfest-raffle-225prize. Pool. First prize, $2,000 Andrews Communications voucher. Choose from a wide range of amateur radio gear. Second prize, $699 ComTech voucher. Upgrade your shack with top tier EQU IPM EN to third prize. Elinco DJC RX7H E handheld radio valued at $229. Fourth prize, $200 ComTech store credit ticket prices. $5 for one ticket, $10 for two tickets, $20 for four tickets, $1.40 for eight tickets, $80 for 16 tickets, $100 for 20 tickets, $250 for 50 tickets important dates. Ticket sales open June 25th, 2025. Online and cash sales close August 31st, 2025. Cash sales end at 11 a.m. at the Cyril Jackson Recreation. Center permit holder only. Draw date, August 31st, 2025. At noon during Hamfest 2025, ticket sales permitted while Conzi, QLD, NSW.SA.TAS, VicVic61904 WA. LS22327402 5 Northern Corridor Radio Groups, Inc. is a responsible community organization following the Gaming and Wagering Commission Act, 1987. Where to view? Results, NCRG website, http://ncrg.info/wp/raffle-raffle-link-page. http://rafflelink.com.o/hamfest-225. All ticket packages comply with WOMIA's DRGLS regulations and are processed securely via RaffleLink on behalf of the Northern Corridor Radio Group, Inc. Let's make this raffle our most successful yet. Every ticket sold helps fund NCRG's ongoing projects, events, and upgrades, all while giving you the chance to walk away with some top-notch gear. Act now and grab your tickets before they're gone. The clock is ticking and the draw is just around the corner on August 31st. Best regards, Matthew McDonough, VK6ML, Vice President, NCRG 043602-2860.
Hi, this is Alan, VK4, Sierra November, with the Trans-Tasman contest results and more. This year, operators experienced good propagation and low noise on the bands. A total of 61 logs were entered containing 4,752 QSOs. A full report containing my report, certificates for both VK and ZL, and an error log report are available for download from the WIA Trans-Tasman Contest page. So have a look, print your certificate, and see where mistakes were made. For soapbox comments and statistics, see vklogchecker.com. Our top three winners in each category are, for single operator high power, VK4 Mike, Victor Lima 5 Lima, and VK1 Oscar Zulu. For single op low power, VK2 Mike Tango, VK3 Golf Juliet Golf, and VK5 Lima Juliet. For single op QRP, VK3 Tango Uniform November, VK2 India Oscar, and VK2 Whiskey Yankee. For multi-single, VK3 Kilo Kilo, VK3 III, and VK2 Alpha Oscar Juliet. For multi-multi, Victor Lima 4 Romeo, VK4 Papa, and VK2 Alpha Tango Zulu. This year, I've introduced a youth subsection, and congratulations go to our winner, James, Victor Kilo 3 Juliet Foxtrot Romeo. No sooner has the Trans-Tasman finished, now the Remembrance Day contest is almost upon us. Remembrance Day is held on the 16th and 17th of August. Put that in your diary for our 0300 Zulu start while we remember those who paid the supreme sacrifice. A youth category has also been introduced this year. All the necessary information is on the WIA contest pages. Best 73s, this is Alan, VK4, Sierra November.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6 ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Good morning, this is Roy VK6XRay Victor. This week's helpline for the 3rd of August. Today we have no new items, just repeats. We still have a very nice computer hi-fi audio system. It's a GigaWorks Tango 4.0 Series 2 multimedia loudspeaker system. It has a frequency response stated to be 50 Hz to 20 kHz. Power is 16 watts per channel, and the power is provided by a switch mode power supply, 27 volts. And you can have that in your shack for a very moderate outlay of $70, I think it is. Let's have a look. $75, in fact. $75, it's yours. It's located in Ballajura. Please contact Clive, VK6CSW. His email address is Charlie Sierra Whiskey Alpha Lima Lima India Sierra. That's CS Wallace at hotmail.com. Charlie Sierra Whiskey Alpha Lima Lima India Sierra at hotmail.com for that speaker system. Also have available the following from a silent key. It's a Kenwood TS180 Sierra SSB HF transceiver with a power supply, a Papa Sierra PS30, in fact. $300 for that unit, including the power supply, in fact. And also have an ICOM. It's an IC28 Hotel VHF transceiver. It's an IC28 Hotel VHF transceiver, $120. A Philips FM92 VHF transceiver program with frequencies for all the WA repeaters, $80 for that. Contact Dan, his email address, Sierra Zulu Charlie Zulu Delta Papa Sierra at gmail.com. I'll say again, Sierra Zulu Charlie Zulu Delta Papa Sierra at gmail.com. Next I have from Wayne the following, a Yaesu Fox Tango 990 complete with microphone, original box manual, $600 for that unit. There's also an ICOM IC229 Hotel 2-meter 50 watt mobile FM transceiver with manual mounting bracket, mobile mounting bracket and microphone, $50 for that. There's an ICOM desk microphone. It's a Sierra Mic Dash 8 dual radio desk microphone. That means you can have it with two different radios, and $150 for that. Contact Wayne. That's VK6 Fox Tango on 0423 185 032, and that's all I have for you for today. Thank you once again for listening. 73, and if you have any items for next week's, please give me a call. My email address, victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. That's the only address you need to know, and I do have others, but you don't need to know them. VK6xrayvictor@bigpond.com. Cheers, 73 from me and 73 from him.
Hi, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank those involved with putting News West to air every week and those who take callbacks. Many of you do both. What a faithful bunch. WARG, the West Australian Repeater Group, maintains a linked repeater network that carries the news broadcasts on Sunday mornings and evenings. Thanks, WARG. Others broadcast or relay the news from their QTH, and if they can't, they try to find someone to fill in for them. Thanks again. You know who you are. And to you, our loyal listeners, please remember to say thanks to the broadcaster when you're doing callbacks. And finally, a huge thanks to Clinton for assembling News West contributions every week. He also produces a video version. So thanks everybody. I'm Bob VK6PRP and I'm the president of WA Amateur Radio News.
Hi there, it's Clinton VK6FCRC back with you. And did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@newswestweeklypodcast-kilo-zulu-7-yankee-charlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the VK6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.